Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, December the 18th. And we will welcome in U.S. Representative Tammy Baldwin for this segment of the program to talk with us about why she has signed on to an effort urging impeachment hearings against Vice President Dick Cheney. On Friday, Congresswoman Baldwin and two of her colleagues on the House Judiciary Committee, Robert Wexler of Florida and Luis Gutierrez of Illinois, called for the hearings to begin on a resolution of impeachment of Cheney that was forwarded to the Judiciary Committee by the House of Representatives last month. Do you agree that impeachment hearings against the vice president are warranted? Why or why not? Give us a call with your thoughts and questions for Representative Baldwin, who we are happy is able to join us for the next 20 minutes or so. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Tammy Baldwin is a Democratic U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, which covers South Central Wisconsin, including Madison and Beloit. She is a part of a group of lawmakers calling for impeachment hearings against Vice President Dick Cheney. Good morning.
Good morning.
So why did you and your two colleagues issue this statement on Friday entitled A Case for Impeachment?
Well, our case for hearings really stemmed out of the activities that have preceded it, including a move in the beginning of November to bring House Resolution 333, which is impeachment proceedings against the vice president, to the floor of the House of Representatives. Its main author, Congressman Dennis Kucinich, presented that resolution as a matter of privilege on the floor, and it was referred to committee, and we think the timing is right, given that that debate we had in November, to take the next steps. And, of course, our letter urges that.
Yeah, and so are you urging your chair, or who are you urging to call these hearings?
Well, I think the intended audience is more than just one person. Obviously, the chairman of the committee plays an enormous role in all of this. But it's very, very clear that while public sentiment supports hearings, that more citizens and others need to speak up and make sure that their member of Congress knows that this is a priority. What I tend to hear is a lot of commentary from the people that I represent on their dissatisfaction with the various activities of this administration, the vice president's activities as well as the president's, and yet sometimes that doesn't crystallize into a call for hearings. It's a call for some sort of redress against each activity. We've actually been trying to set right some of the abuses of this administration, but with the president still in power and able to veto measures that are sent to his desk, this appears to be one of the only courses of action that he could not interfere with.
Yeah. Well, what sorts of abuses, what sorts of things has the vice president in particular done that you think warrants hearings of impeachment?
Well, let's start with a resolution that has already been introduced and has gathered some support in the House of Representatives, and that's House Resolution 333, introduced in April of 2007. And its primary author, as I mentioned earlier, is Dennis Kucinich. That resolution sets forth three articles, and the activities that it focuses on are really the lead-up to the war in Iraq and activities more recent relating to the conduct towards Iran. With regard to Iraq, the first article deals with the spreading of misinformation and manipulating the intelligence relating to whether there were weapons of mass destruction and an active nuclear program going on in Iraq. Mm-hmm. We know now, of course, that there wasn't one. And, of course, you know, we have that evidence. The question that this raises is, to what extent did the vice president play an active role in manipulating the intelligence or fabricating a threat of Iraqi weapons of mass destruction in order to lead the United States into war? I think a question that must be answered if we are to make sure that this never happens again. The second article in House Resolution 333 relates to the role of the vice president in manipulating intelligence to suggest an alleged relationship between Iraq and al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. And again, that's something that was alleged throughout the build-up to the war and then pretty much dismissed as credible as credible information in the early stages of the war. We know now that there has been an infiltration of al-Qaeda into Iraq, but it seems pretty clear that that was as a result of the lack, you know, the destabilization of the war itself. And then lastly, the third article in the resolution focuses on very threatening language that the vice president has used with regard to Iran, including threats of military action, potentially using nuclear weapons. They call them the, I think the lay term is the nuclear bunker busters. But that type of language is and threats are extremely serious and have huge consequences on the national security of the United States. So that is the crux of the impeachment resolution. I would just have to add that since that was introduced, there are certainly numerous other allegations that have been made that were not included in that impeachment resolution that still nevertheless cause me and many of my constituents enormous concern.
Yeah, and we will talk about some of those after we take a quick check of the weather. We are talking with Tammy Baldwin, Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, about her call for impeachment hearings to begin against Vice President Dick Cheney. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 19 minutes past 7 o'clock. We are talking with Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin, a Democrat from Madison representing Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, about her call, along with two of her colleagues on the House Judiciary Committee, for impeachment hearings to begin against Vice President Dick Cheney. We will go to the phones in just a moment. One open line at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. This letter, Representative Baldwin, also indicates that you and your colleagues are concerned about revelations of what role the vice president may have played in the outing of Valerie Plame, the CIA agent married to Bush administration critic Ambassador Joe Wilson.
Yes, very much so. And, you know, a number of the additional revelations about activities of this administration that bring great concern have occurred since the impeachment resolution that Mr. Kucinich authored was presented. And so a lot of what we've learned about the outing of Valerie Plame, but even more recently about how the White House press secretary at the time, Scott McClellan, was treated. He has alleged that he was purposefully given false information that he then unknowingly passed along to the press, or unknowing that it was false information. And that is, you know, yet another action that ought to be investigated and is very, very troublesome given the gravity of exposing a covert operative in the intelligence forces.
We have full lines, and I want to take calls for you, but we are going to be talking with a guest coming up after 7:30 who's going to say there's nothing here that rises to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors, and that this is a political waste of time.
Well, that'll be an interesting back-to-back discussion. I think that when we're talking about bringing a country to war on false allegations, when we're talking about the loss of lives as well as the loss of literally trillions now, over a trillion in terms of the commitment to the war in Iraq, when we're talking about the potential involvement in destruction of evidence, authorizing torture, president, an administration that's been involved in spying on its own citizens. We are talking about activities that must be corrected. And at this point, the tool that Congress has is the tool of impeachment.
Yeah. Prima in Waukesha starts us off. Hi, Prima.
Hi. I would just like to let Ms. Baldwin know that I think she's very much mistaken in the sentiment of the Wisconsin residents. I think the Wisconsin residents are pretty much dismayed with their representatives going off on boondoggles like this, wasting time and money that could be better spent on Wisconsin children that are being abused, the cost, high cost of things. And I think our Wisconsin representatives are mismanaging our funds in going off on things like this that the Wisconsin residents really have greater concerns about.
Yeah.
And we're in Iraq.
There's a lot. We can't go on a long laundry list here, Prima, but we get your point. She thinks, number one, public opinion in Wisconsin is not behind your efforts, Representative Baldwin.
I'd say a couple of things. One is, I certainly haven't done any polling on this personally, but I can tell you that is one of the chief things that my constituents contact me about. Sometimes it's impeachment specifically. Oftentimes it is about the individual allegations that I've discussed, whether it's spying on American citizens, exercise or using interrogation techniques that amount to torture, whether it's deceiving the American people in the build-up to the war. People are demanding responses. But the second point that I think Prima raises is a very important one, and we address in our letter. One of the chief arguments against instituting impeachment actions in the House has been a concern that it would preclude any other type of positive activities on behalf of the citizens. I can assure you that that is a concern I have I've weighed very carefully, and rather than it needing to bring everything to a halt, I think we can very much continue actively prioritizing the issues that she was raising. For example, I am one who has worked very, very hard on the S-CHIP legislation. She referenced working on behalf of children. This would expand health insurance to 10 million uninsured children in America. It's a huge and high priority for me, and getting it past the president's veto is one of my chief priorities in the new year. And fashioning that legislation as well as energy legislation has been very much the focus of my past year. So I think that we can hold this administration accountable at the same time that we make progress for our country on a whole bunch of fronts.
Thanks, Prima. Another point of view from Joe in River Falls in an email. He agrees with your efforts, Representative Baldwin. It seems like, he writes, when former President Nixon or was almost impeached and President Clinton was, our Congress was more willing to set aside their party and do what was right. Clinton did lie under oath, and Nixon, well, he was a crook. What is it about today's Congress that makes them so steadfastly, seemingly afraid to do the right thing? If we did start impeachment proceedings, what would be the reaction of the Bush administration?
Well, I think Joe and I will both, we only can use crystal balls to answer those questions since we don't know the answer. But I do think, you know, again, the central focus of this is that it is Congress's responsibility to hold the administration, the executive branch, to account. And I would have much preferred a more direct route of sending the president legislation that corrects some of the abuses. But when we have faced vetoes and we have faced resistance. And so at some point, this remains the only tool that can get the job done.
Ray in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Ray.
Good morning to you and your guest. I want to bring up the important fact that everything you need to impeach this guy and the president is all located in the 9/11 report. For instance, there are no records, official records, of any phone calls between Bush and Cheney during that important two-hour period.
We're not going to go into all your evidence, Ray. We don't have time. But that's someone who believes that there might have been some government involvement of some sort in the collapse of the Twin Towers. Representative Baldwin, that is not a part of the impeachment resolution.
That's correct. The impeachment resolution is confined to the activities of Vice President Cheney and two main aspects in the buildup to the war in Iraq: the assertion that there were weapons of mass destruction and an active nuclear program in Iraq, which there were not, and also a link between al-Qaeda and Iraq, which was not present.
Yeah. Louise in Spring Green. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Representative Baldwin. I'm concerned. I'm supportive of your move to impeach, but I'm wondering, in light of your support for impeachment, why you supported H.R. 1955, which merely gives the administration more power to censor and block our free speech and thought.
Yeah, I certainly don't read H.R. 1955 in that way. In fact, first of all, it's not an entity or is not something that is within the administration's hands. It's something that's being set up for the benefit of Congress. And for your listeners who aren't familiar with the resolution by number, what it is a resolution that sets up a commission to study the issue of violent radicalization. Basically, we study in foreign countries things like al-Qaeda training camps and how people are radicalized. But we don't do that in our own country, and we know from things like the Oklahoma City bombing with Timothy McVeigh that there are folks within our own country who become radicalized for some reason or another. And so what H.R. 1955 does is set up a commission to study and report its findings to Congress. There's no criminal law, or it's not a criminal law bill. It doesn't set up any criminal penalties for anything. And it has an important provision to protect the civil liberties as this study is of the radicalization process is underway. It passed the House on a vote of 404-6, and I really think it's a prudent step, but obviously when the findings of the commission are reported to Congress, we need to look at them carefully.
We're out of time. Tammy Baldwin, thanks so much for being with us. Another view after the news. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7:36 on this Tuesday, December the 18th. I'm Joy Cardine, and we will continue our discussion about the impeachment of Vice President Dick Cheney, or at least the call for hearings, impeachment hearings against Vice President Dick Cheney, with a guest with a different viewpoint. We just heard from Wisconsin Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin before the news about why she is signing on to this effort to call for the impeachment hearings to begin. And now we will hear from someone who disagrees with this effort. Chris Carson is the co-founder and former editorial board member of the Wisconsin Conservative Digest. He is currently an attorney practicing in the Milwaukee area. We welcome your thoughts and questions about this. That's the question on the table. Should impeachment hearings begin against Vice President Dick Cheney? Do you agree or disagree with this effort that was signed on to by U.S. Representative Tammy Baldwin on Friday? Tammy Baldwin, along with two other members of the House Judiciary Committee, have called for the immediate opening of impeachment hearings for Vice President Dick Cheney. This letter, entitled A Case for Hearings, declares that the issues at hand are too serious to ignore, including credible allegations of abuse of power that have proven may well constitute high crimes and misdemeanors under our Constitution. The charges against Vice President Cheney relate to his deceptive actions leading up to the Iraq War, the revelation of the identity of a covert agent for political retaliation, and the illegal wiretapping of American citizens, among other charges. So, what do you think? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Chris Carson, as I mentioned, co-founder, former editorial board member of the Wisconsin Conservative Digest, joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So, you think that this is a bunch of hooey?
Yes, I really do. First of all, you can't just allege and say that there should be hearings and then let the chips fall where they may, as this appears to be doing. That's like being a little bit pregnant. What Congressman Wexler, Baldwin, and Gutierrez are doing is saying, let's just get the hearings out there and feel around until we find some actual crime. Well, a prosecutor has to have a crime, has to have some evidence for a crime before they charge an individual in my business. And in this case, there isn't any. There's no evidence that Vice President Cheney committed any crime whatsoever. So it's just an absolute, really a waste of the final year of this administration's time.
Yeah. Well, what about hearing from someone like former White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan, who says that the vice president and his staff gave him false information to pass along regarding Valerie Plame?
Well, first of all, former Press Secretary McClellan, it's sort of part of the Washington game of not I, not I. It's not so much that he was a major player. He wasn't. He was the press secretary. But it's that in his view, this information that Valerie Plame was a covert operative was, of course, false, as we now know. She was not a covert operative at the time of the thing.
I'm going to get all sorts of listeners who are going to yell at me if I don't call you
sure.
on that because the special prosecutor said she was a covert operative. I just had her on the air a week or so ago, and she indeed was covert, and her identity should not have been released. So anyway.
Well, that may be, that certainly may be her view and the view of Patrick Fitzgerald, perhaps, but nevertheless, Patrick Fitzgerald never charged a single person with violating this act that prohibits the release of information of covert operatives.
Yeah, but we don't have to, I mean, supposedly because it wasn't done, intentionally is.
Well, I mean, the fact is she wasn't horribly covert, so to speak, because she was giving interviews and photo spreads to Vanity Fair very soon after.
Well, that was after. But in any case, let's not argue about that. But
sure.
You're saying that that whatever information the vice president had regarding that particular situation was not he didn't commit a high crime or misdemeanor.
Well, it's not even a crime. And secondly, there's no evidence that anybody knew that she was a covert operative. If in fact, as you claim, or not you claim, but as she claims that she was, that information would have been on a need-to-know basis. It would have been confined to the bowels of the Director of Operations. And she, that information, if it was true, would not have been known to Vice President Cheney and his office. So the fact is that saying, oh, yes, his wife, Mr. Wilson's wife, happens to be in the CIA, that's different from saying, by the way, she's a covert operative and pass it along, you know?
Yeah, the articles that are in the resolution authored by Dennis Kucinich that was referred to the House Judiciary Committee had language that said that that Vice President Dick Cheney was spreading misinformation on weapons of mass destruction in the lead up to the war in Iraq.
Well, first of all, it's important to know, and this also applies to the plame issue. Vice President Cheney has no executive authority. He's the second in the executive branch, but he doesn't really have a portfolio other than president of the Senate when there's a tie-breaking vote to be cast. Cheney does not command in the military. He does not have an executive role in the intelligence services or anywhere in the government. He's simply President Bush's ambassador at large, if you will. He's his high prestige, I guess, agent and mouthpiece, which is fine. That's the role that the Constitution has set out for the vice president. But Vice President Cheney did not create the intelligence that led up to the Iraq War and frankly didn't act on it because he doesn't have the authority to do either. Nevertheless, that intelligence was in some large respects accurate from what we now know from the declassified document haul that was taken out of Iraq.
Yeah. So same argument for that he also might it be spreading misinformation about Al-Qaeda's role in 9/11? Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda, I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes. Vice President Cheney, I listened to an interview of him on this very topic in Fox News, which restated what he'd already said, had always said, is that we simply don't know, at least at the time, we don't know if Saddam had a role in 9/11. And that was too much for most of the chattering classes. By maintaining a studied agnosticism on the question in public, that was too much, and I disagree that was too much. I think it's certainly a very fruitful area to mine, and I don't mean to sound like somebody who is some radical set apart from the rest of mainstream historians. The documents that have been declassified that were on the web until the site was taken down because it was about nuclear weapons. From Saddam's Iraq, specifically talk about meetings with Al-Qaeda, meetings with bin Laden in 1995, massive monetary support to various terrorist agencies. There's a significant role that Saddam's Iraq played in funding Islamic terrorists, and the CIA's belief that Islamists would never work with Saddam, a secular monster, and vice versa, turned out to be completely false.
We are talking with Chris Carson, co-founder, former editorial board member of the Wisconsin Conservative Digest. He's also worked with the American Enterprise Institute and the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute. He is an attorney practicing in the Milwaukee area. He is reacting to U.S. Representative Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, signing on with a group of lawmakers calling for impeachment hearings against Vice President Dick Cheney. We will get to your phone calls for him after this weather. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we'll talk with the author of the book, Utter Incompetence, who says, despite the fact that President Bush and his administration are actually very smart people, they keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. That's coming up after 8. To the phones now for Chris Carson, Diane in Middleton. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for the program. I do believe that Cheney and Bush should be impeached. The Constitution says 6 times that impeachment is an obligation of the Congress. It's not a option to be discussed. And as far as Valerie Plame is concerned, she not only was a covert operator, she was in charge of anti-nuclear proliferation, particularly in Iran.
Yeah. Diane, what's your response to Chris Carson, who says there is no evidence of a high crime or misdemeanor and you don't have impeachment hearings just to go on a fishing expedition?
Well, I would say that it's a matter of opinion. There are many knowledgeable constitutional scholars who are have very long lists of the things that have been violated here. And it's not a fishing expedition. If you have a grand jury to investigate whether a crime, you know, should be prosecuted. And
it's Congress's duty to do this, Chris Carson, Diane says.
It's Congress's duty to do that if, in fact, there is some evidence, some probable cause, if you will, that's a legal phrase, but not in the Constitution, but for lack of a better term, some evidence that a crime, a specific crime or misdemeanor, has been committed. And what we have here is nothing. We have Patrick Fitzgerald for 2.5 years spending an enormous amount of money to determine whether somebody knew that Valerie Plame was a covert operative, and in the end, he couldn't. He couldn't tell, could not determine, after 2.5 years of grand jury powers, whether anybody knew that she was an undercover agent within the meaning of the statute at the time her identity was passed along. So, in fact, the person who leaked her name was not, to the public, was not Vice President Cheney, but Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage.
Right, right. And he said that he didn't know and was babbling it and you know, whatever.
Babbling it to Robert Novak, who's a columnist in the Washington area.
I mean, a lot of people could say that maybe he was told by the Vice President to tell it to Robert Novak.
Right, but then his subpoena before the grand jury and his testimony and everyone else's testimony before the grand jury somehow was insufficient for an aggressive prosecutor like Patrick Fitzgerald to indict a single person in the vice president's or anybody's office for the knowledge that she was a covert operative, if assuming she was. So that is not a crime. To have a crime, you have to have a mens rea in the law, which is a mental state, a mental intent to do that crime. And there is no indication from anyone after this huge investigation with unlimited grand jury subpoena power that there was the slightest intent or knowledge to unravel a covert operative. Yeah. That's not a crime.
Next we go to Craig in Madison. Hi, Craig.
Hi, how's it going?
Pretty good.
I guess my thing is, you know, whether you believe something happened or not, that doesn't matter as much. We already kind of went through this back in April. That other thing came out. And it was pretty much determined that they weren't going to be able to do anything anyway. So why are we going through this again, wasting how many millions of dollars and our congressman's time? It should be better spent making laws for something useful.
Yeah. Well, off the table. It was Nancy Pelosi who said before the elections that impeachment was off the table. I don't know if
right.
It was considered by the whole Congress.
So pretty much, if you can't do something, why are we wasting our time and energy? You know, why don't they go after something silly like the Mitchell report, and why did Mitchell waste our time and energy, you know, going after baseball players? It's the same thing. It's more wasteful politics.
Yeah, that's what you think too, Chris Carson?
Yeah, I do. This is a year for this administration to run. We've got huge issues. We've got a war going on all around the world. We've got major combat activities in Afghanistan and Iraq. And these activities are being basically ignored by at least Congressman Baldwin and her co-religionists. The troops have to be funded. There has to be advice and consent given to the president by the Senate. There has to be oversight by the House of Representatives. And yet, what do we have? We have basically this little politically motivated fishing expedition.
Yeah. Well, what do you make of this? There's been different polls. The American Research Group conducted a poll. 70% of voters say Vice President Dick Cheney has abused his powers, and 43% said he should be removed from office immediately.
Okay. Well, first of all, assuming that poll is accurate, and I haven't looked at the methodology because I always look at methodology before I sign on to a poll, but assuming that poll is accurate, I think that has to do with the incessant negative drumbeat of coverage from the media against Vice President Cheney as being this sort of Svengali, this sort of prince of darkness behind the scenes, manipulating and wanting to take the country to wars without end when there's no defense. There's no defense ever proffered. The vice president doesn't go around and defend himself. The president doesn't defend himself. There is simply a one-track media play, and there's no response ever given. They don't dignify these things with a response, which I think is a huge mistake, but not an immoral mistake. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that the process of impeachment is a legal process. It should not be based upon a plebiscite. It should not be based upon a public opinion poll. And secondly, even this public opinion poll, majority of the country doesn't think that he should be removed from office.
Yeah. A majority, perhaps, of Tammy Baldwin's constituents, though, wanted her to take action on this.
Assuming that they were polled keeping in mind that her constituents are in the Madison area, perhaps, but that's not... The job of a congressman is to simply find out what your constituents want you to do, but rather to act on their behalf using your own judgment.
Mm-hmm. Ben in Green Bay, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to let your guests know that Bush and Cheney claimed there was irrefutable evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, which means that enough evidence that can't be refuted. Yet it has been refuted, and the claims didn't fool the international community one bit, nor did it fool Denis Kucinich or a bunch of other people. And I think lying to a nation that leads them to break sovereignty with another state is a high crime or misdemeanor.
Ben, I appreciate you putting this to our guests, but can't the vice president and president say that they didn't lie, that they were misinformed from intelligence from other intelligence agencies in other countries even?
Well, sure, except the fact that irrefutable evidence means that you cannot refute it, and the international community wasn't convinced by any of the evidence presented because they presented a lack of evidence and from sources that were unreliable, so it did not fool them. So claiming that it's irrefutable is a false claim.
Can I respond to that briefly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
First of all, anybody that knows about how national security is conducted in the United States knows that the president and the vice president and the executive branch are intelligence consumers. They're not intelligence makers. They're intelligence consumers. And the National Intelligence Estimate of 2002 did say with high confidence that Iraq had an ongoing weapons of mass destruction program. It was a summary of 16 intelligence agencies. The British felt that. Even the French did not deny that. If you listen, go back and look at Jacques Chirac and his statements. Never once did Jacques Chirac say Iraq didn't have weapons of mass destruction. What he said was, we shouldn't go to war. And he said that this is our largest trading partner. don't mess up the game. We had huge evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. This is a debate that's now going on 5 years old. But nevertheless, we had huge evidence. With the documents, they show conclusively there were nerve gas being tested. I have a document from 2002 translated that talks about that. We have Hans Blix finding nerve gas in shells, nerve gas or mustard gas in shells found by UNMOVIC itself in the run-up to the war. We have the Polish army buying 25 cyclosarin rockets, cyclosarin-filled rockets, five times more deadly than sarin, on the black market in the year after the war in March of 2003. We have the U.S. Marines finding mustard gas dumped into the Euphrates River. Clearly, there were weapons of mass destruction, and they were dumped and they were hidden. I mean, that's really not seriously, intellectually, a matter of dispute at this point.
Bill in Orfordville, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. You know, these are just hearings. This isn't a trial. For all we know, that these hearings may even clear these gentlemen. I doubt it, but this is just a hearing. This is what we pay our congresspeople to do, and they would be remiss not to do that. Let's just stick with the game plan here and let these people do their job.
Yeah, Chris Carson.
Well, I mean, hearings would dominate the press and media coverage. It would deflect even the Congress from whatever work it wanted to do. Hearings when the Congress has passed basically one law in the entire time it's been in office since January of 2007.
And of course, you might have heard Tammy Baldwin saying that they would send bills to the president, like the children's health insurance, and it was vetoed.
They're not sending realistic bills. They're sending politically bills that have lots of earmarks.
Yeah.
They're sending bills that are designed to be vetoed, and they're not sending compromise bills. So you don't have a Democratic fantasy list and then send it to the president.
Yeah, your point, though, with only 30 seconds to go, is that hearings should not be held to look into these allegations, that there has to be proof positive that a high crime or misdemeanor has occurred before a hearing starts?
No, not proof positive. Mm-hmm. Some evidence, mm-hmm. some uncontradicted line of evidence. That's what I would like to see. Mm-hmm. I don't have any evidence at all, and in fact, evidence to the contrary, mm-hmm. because it didn't come up in Patrick Fitzgerald's thing. No evidence at all that Cheney lied.
Thank you so much for being with us. Chris Carson is formerly with the Wisconsin Conservative Digest, an attorney practicing in Milwaukee.